Kat went from charging $80,000 for private coaching to selling $17 digital courses. She's now doing $80,000 a month. John and I just made our own PDFs after our PDF dropshipping episode. It's time to learn how to actually sell them. All right, Kat, thanks for coming on the show. I saw you post this. I knew this is where we had to start the podcast. This is a wild journey. Hopefully our editor can put it up on the screen, but by all means, I would love to hear your take on this journey that you posted on Facebook.
Okay. So what do you want to know about it? Because it's a long journey.
Yeah, look, I could call out the points that stand out to me, but I'd love to hear from your point of view of like, look, the top line says 2003 alcoholic high school dropout stripper who believed her only way out of the hellhole was to marry rich, right? And at the bottom, now you're doing what I mentioned in the intro here, kind of a wild journey. I'd love for you to touch on any piece of this that like stands out to you. We could talk through it all if you want to. It's a wild journey.
Sure. Yeah. So as I alluded to, I used to be an erotic dancer in Canada. And then this man that I was in love with broke up with me. Really, my first heartbreak was horrible. Decided to buy a one-way ticket to Australia because I saw this ad on TV. And it was like these kangaroos jumping across the landscape and smiling aboriginals. And I was like, that is where I'm going. And bought a one-way ticket to Australia and then ended up meeting my ex-husband, who at the time was working at sea in the oil industry in Australia. He's a Kiwi though. And he basically forced me out of the stripping business. He didn't want a bar of it. Basically rescued me is a nice way to say it. And then for a while, I was like, okay, I landed this man that can support me financially. This is the dream, right? But actually, because I had been a stripper and I'd been making my own money, stripping is almost entrepreneurship in many ways. Looking back, I realized it is a form of entrepreneurship and it's really good sales training. So I learned exceptional sales skills when I was an erotic dancer. I learned about resilience and rejection and charisma and energy and the importance of that behind sales. And it's not always the prettiest girl. It's the one who has charisma and, you know, is in a good mood. She's the one that makes the most money. So I wasn't really happy being a kept woman, so to speak. I always had bartending jobs. But in Australia, they don't tip. So bartending is not a career you make as an adult. It's not something you do like the States. And I had this dream. I'm like, I'm going to go get a corporate job. I'm going to go to university. I'm going to study business and marketing. I'm going to get a job in corporate and I'm going to climb the ladder and I'm going to be super successful and it's going to be amazing. And I'm going to get on a bus every morning in my suit and high heels and I'm going to have my coffee cup like all these people. Did the whole thing, graduated, got the job, got the 9-to-5. And I was like, this fucking sucks. Like, what the fuck is this? This is not what I thought this was going to be. Because again, coming from an erotic dancing background where you pretty much get to set your schedule in many ways, your own, you know, you pay club fees and stuff, but you're kind of your own boss. It was really weird to suddenly have to clock in and ask for permission to have time off. So I launched a business. I had this brilliant idea. I'm like, I'm going to launch a travel website. It's going to make billions of dollars. Lonely Planet is going to buy me out. Convinced my ex-husband to invest. We invested together about 30, 40. I mean, it was a lot of money into building an app. Launched this thing. Completely flopped. My mom was the only one who bought, but this website, it was called Yeti. No one could spell it. It had every vowel in the dictionary. It was what taught me how to build communities online and advertising. And at the time, I still had my 9-to-5. I was a marketing manager for a business association. So I was surrounded by entrepreneurs, investors, and property developers all the time. And I started to realize that was what made me realize I wanted to do my own business. Like, these guys are no different than me. If they can do it, I can do it. And my little project that failed caught the eye of an agency owner, Ken Brickley. We're still really great friends. And he's like, hey, do you want to take over an account? And I started freelancing. And then I ended up growing a 7-figure agency. And then I grew an 8-figure coaching program teaching agency owners how to do this themselves. And made a lot of money. Then got very, very depressed. Felt trapped by my business. I was sick and tired of talking about ads. realized there was a deeper conversation behind the ads. I was mostly teaching strategy back then. We had mindset coaches, but my conversations were all strategic. And it just wore me down, had a mental breakdown, walked away from it all in 2020. And then I went to the total opposite. So I went from strategy to marketing strategy to like emotions and energetics and magic and mindset, and built a seven-figure business there, all organic, no ads. I had ad PTSD. And then, I mean, there's so many pendulum swings here. Then I started to sell. I started to do private client coaching things, 80K packages. But what I realized was that I'm very empathetic and I can only handle so many of those clients at once because the truth is, in business, there's a lot of in business, in life, forget about just business. Life has a lot of challenges, ups and downs. Those will never go away. But as an empath, when you're doing private coaching, you kind of tend to, I tend to go there with my clients emotionally. And so I can only have a handful of clients at a time in order to protect my energy and have a stronger frame to lift them up. And so I love private client work. It's really fulfilling. I still have some private clients, but I realized, okay, A, I don't trust myself to not have another mental breakdown. And B, this is not as scalable. It requires me to be in a time and spot, private client, high ticket stuff. The value is your time, it's your proximity, it's your eyeballs. So I began to explore low ticket. And I wasn't really seeing anyone succeeding or making big, big money just from low ticket online. So it took me quite a few years to crack this, mostly because I was fighting against my own beliefs. And I at first started with books, ebooks. I started selling my ebooks. And then I started to roll in digital courses on the back of that funnel. And by September, July, August, yeah, by August 2025, I was doing about $500 days just from that funnel, just from my ebook and my digital course sitting on the back. And it was about $160 in ad spend. So I was really profitable. I got really excited and I was like, oh my God, let me share this with everyone. This is like a hack. Everyone needs to know about this. And the marketer came back out. She was like, I'm back, bitches. And people loved it. They're like, yay, welcome home. I was like, was I missing? Like, what's going on here? And I started to teach this method to others, which is kind of where I'm at. What I will say right now, where I'm at, is I'm trying to find the balance between the two. I think life is a constant trying to find the balance in everything. And it's a swing in either direction. Like right now, there's a swing in terms of feminism, and that's not the answer. It's like there's a balance point, right? And I think life is always, we're trying to find the balance. So I kind of went to this pendulum swing with the ads, and now I'm in a process of bringing the conversation into something more wholesome where it is, here's how to grow your low ticket revenues, the ad campaigns, the step by step, but also check this out, your thoughts, your perspectives, your mindset, they really matter in this equation. It's not a nice to have, it's a must look at this because what I do know in working with Facebook ads for over a decade is that this platform will mirror your deepest insecurities. And if you have any kind of needy energy with your campaigns or what you're doing, you're fucked. It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. So that's kind of the condensed version of where I'm at and how I got here.
Hey, it's John here. I just wanted to let you know that the Low Bar Pod membership is now live. So if you've been loving the show and you'd love to hang out directly with myself and Ben and a whole bunch of other like-minded individuals to do more fun business stuff, head to lowbarpod.com/join. It's just $9 a month. It's cancel at any time. We can't wait to see you inside.
I mean, that's a wild journey, right? I think too many people think I'm going to get into entrepreneurship, I'm going to start a business, and it's just up and to the right? And often when you go look at anyone's story, there are these huge, as you mentioned, pendulum swings, right? And often serendipity as well, right? You're in a place you can't imagine you would be in, and then something comes along and takes you in a completely different direction and ends up being everything you needed. Why is that?
Because we're, as you said, we're storytellers, right? Everything we do, this podcast is a story. Media is a story, sports is a story, news is a story, everything, our whole lives is a story. And we are ultimately telling a story with our lives. And we are creative beings. And the definition of creativity is to apply yourself to a process of problem solving. And so actually, the way we gain confidence, the ultimate way to gain confidence is to apply yourself to a contrasting situation or a problem or an issue or something that isn't working. And then when you solve it on the back, you're like, oh my God, I did that. And you expand emotional states, and then you have a great story to tell. So it's especially if you're trying to be a coach or mentor or guide people like you guys are, the thing is you're going to be inviting those situations in your life, not as punishment, but because you want to have a more wholesome conversation to bring to the table. I would be such a bad mentor to people if I had struck gold right away. If I had launched my first business and everything had worked and I had made money, and then I went to go mentor other business owners and they're like, what's the key to success? And I'm like, you know what? My first post went viral. I don't know what to tell you. You just suck, right? Like, how vapid, how empty is that conversation? That is a story no one will buy. There are books out there where there is not the typical protagonist encounters the challenges, but they don't sell. They don't sell. Like, no one wants to watch movies where it's like, and John woke up, was born, and he was just rich right away, and he was happy, and he had all the sex and all the happiness and all the money he wanted. The end. People would be like, 5% Rotten Tomatoes. This is garbage. What the fuck went wrong here? Right? We want to see John cry. We want to see him cry. We want to see him get rejected. We want to see him think it's the end of the world so that he has to dig deep and fucking find himself and build some character and some aptitudes. And now we're listening, you see? So yeah, I think all of us have a wild journey in different ways because that's actually the point of life. We're creative beings. We're here to solve problems, which means problems never go away.
I love that. I don't disagree. I just haven't heard somebody put it that way.
Now. Everyone's like, fuck, okay. I was trying to tell my problems. Thanks, Kat.
No. I mean, I think that's obviously, you know, part of that is why people are drawn to like being an entrepreneur, right? Like it's the ultimate problem solving, one of the ultimate problem solving journeys, right? Because like if you're successful, you've solved some problems for someone or in some way. And yeah, I mean, that all makes sense.
Entrepreneurs, artists, authors, musicians, they all have a high correlation with depression, a super dense emotion. One of the highest correlations in society, right, are high creatives. And so that's quite an interesting connection to make, because if we're here to solve problems, what could possibly be a more difficult or a more worthy problem to apply yourself existentially at the soul level than one of the densest emotions you can live with? Grief, heartbreak, depression, and apathy are extremely dense emotions. And there's a very high correlation between the innovators, the creators, the artists, the entrepreneurs. And so, yeah, it's like, it's almost like if you're an entrepreneur at heart, you're a hardcore creative, like your soul signed up. Whether it's your soul, semantic, subconscious, you are attracting to yourself. You are saying like, let me apply myself to this, so that I can experience a level of affinity and joy of life that most people will never touch or experience themselves. So yeah, there's a lot of darkness with business for sure.
Yeah. So sticking with the darkness theme, just going back to your story there, there's something I just wanted to dig into just a little bit more. So like 2018, just from that timeline, you're at your eight figures or around that eight figure mark, you know, in your business, but you're depressed. But by most people's standards, like, you know, you've made it in inverted commas. Do you know what I mean? Like, what was wrong? Because I think that's actually a really common thing to have happen. What was actually wrong? Because most people would probably look at that and say, oh, what's wrong with that? That sounds fantastic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, poor people. Only poor people say that.
You're living the dream.
Not my money say that shit. No one yeah. who's made real money would ever say something like that because they know. They know money yeah. is not... Yeah, they've done studies like beyond your, you know, there's Maslow's needs, food and shelter. It does bring a level of happiness, but they've also shown that. So this is what you're trying to solve with your emotions. So I categorize emotions into emotional greens and emotional reds, reds and greens. So reds are dense emotions that feel bad in the body. confusion, frustration, boredom, depression, anxiety. And then greens are emotions that feel great in the body. They enhance your nervous system. They make you resilient to diseases and viruses. And then reds actually create autoimmune diseases. They weaken the nervous system. And what your purpose here on this planet, what I believe your purpose here is not to make millions of dollars. It's not to have a family. It's not, those are biological needs. Like you're a creative being. So actually you're beyond biology, which we see with humans all the time, right? Humans are like, I want to be a lion or I want to be a cat. And it's like, okay, well, if you believe that, actually, you know, the imagination can do that. People decide to be vegans. We're not vegan biologically, but you can choose to be in a monogamous, vegan, polyamorous. We can choose anything outside of biology. So your purpose is not to have a family or procreate. It's not to build a business. It's not to impact people by buying charity work around the world. Like, that's none of that. Your purpose here is to actually expand emotional greens to, because there's no limit to those. They're infinite in nature. There's no border where it's like, okay, you've reached all the gratitude there is. There's no more gratitude here for you. You're done. That doesn't exist. So your soul is here to like experience bigger states of, it is here to experience hope in the face of despair. It's here to touch love, even when it's been withheld from you. It's here to know confidence even when people reject you or shut you down. That is the most fulfilling thing to your soul. So actually, that has nothing to do with external things. And this is the big mistake that we make in our society is, for better or worse, capitalism, the way that it's structured, and because of the way it runs, we have marketers and businesses telling people, you're not going to be happy till you buy this Aston Martin. You won't be happy till you have a house. Oh, wait, now you have to be mortgage free to be happy. Oh, wait, now you have to be able to travel business class to be happy. Oh, wait, now you need these. These are all external things. Now you need the wife or the husband or the kids or the body weight or the face that looks a certain thing. And I was sucked into that. So I grew up without money. And so like most people who grew up without money, I made that my compass. When I make the money, I will be happy. I made a lot of money and then I was super insecure. I was really lonely. I began to get a plastic surgery addiction thinking, let me fix this about myself and then I'll be happy. I'll feel confident. I'll da da da. It was all external, let me make. It was like this manic chase and I made $20 million. And at that stage, I realized, oh my God, because I was thinking now I need to hit 100 million and I'll be happy. And I realized this is never going to fucking end, is it? This is never going to fucking end. I'm never, the 20 million was not making me happy the way that I thought. And so for me, it was the most beautiful, delicious thing to hit that rock bottom. The depression was trying to communicate that to me. It was trying to say, this is what red emotions communicate to us. They're just communication. They're not bad. They're really important because they create discernment of what you want. And through the principle of polarity, everything has a dual opposite. There's north and south, cold and hot, light and dark. The same with emotions. You can tell what you're trying to tell yourself or communicate through the polarity of depression. Depression is telling you, you've lost appreciation, gratitude, and affinity to life. That's what depression is. I no longer want to be here. It's the total opposite of, I want to be here. Life is amazing. So depression was telling me, hey, you don't know how to feel appreciation and gratitude without external things. You've never taught yourself this. But I kept trying to suppress it because society tells us it's a mental illness. Society tells us there's something broken with depression. I tried therapy, I tried everything, I invested so much money trying to heal myself, and the more I was trying to heal myself, the worse it was getting, until I almost took my life, and that was the moment I realized, oh shit, fuck all this external stuff, like, I'm gonna prioritize my life here, and I just walked away. I walked into my office one day, I said, I'm out, guys, sorry, sold my house, sold my car, had nothing, financially went whoop. And it was a really disconcerting space to be because it was in that moment that I realized, holy shit, most of my identity, most of my confidence was based on Cat Howell, the marketer, the ads person who makes this much money, who has these ClickFunnels awards and da 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 da. And without that, I was like, who the fuck am I? I'm a nobody. I'm a failure. These were the things I was telling myself. So this began the process of me actually teaching myself what I ultimately wanted, joy, worthiness, appreciation, play, without needing any of those. And I'll tell you what, like, I was living in a little Airbnb at that time in the country, and looking back, that is probably one of the happiest times, like the most joyous times of my life. It was so, there was no material attachments. It was very like, come down, but I was so happy. So that's why that happened, because I had conditions over my own well-being. I was making money a condition over the way that I was feeling, or making my relationship status, or making the way my body looked, my body weight, a condition over how I was able to feel. And so what you're here to do, your purpose is to feel those greens regardless of those conditions. And that's why those contrasting experiences show up, to bring you to this space where you have to self-source those emotions. The rock bottoms, the ego death, they are brilliant at doing this. It fucking sucks when you're going through them, but it's one of the most effective ways. And also surrounding yourself by people is very effective too, but rock bottoms are extremely effective at teaching people confidence and worthiness and resilience and courage and hope. And obviously some people get stuck there. Like, not everyone will ever, you know, in this lifetime will be able to shift those emotions or thoughts. But for those who do, they come out as a character, a protagonist that has these skills, these aptitudes that can hold and create much, much bigger things. So yeah, it's not a bad thing, basically. Like, that's the main thing I believe in, is that those experiences, you know, I talk about the rock bottom and depression, and people are like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking glad I went through that. Like, I'm so grateful for those challenges, because it's made me someone who nowadays I can lose everything. You know, my kids, I would obviously be very, very upset about, but materialistically, I could lose my house, my car, and I know I can make the money back because I've done it. I've hit rock bottom. I've built myself up. So do you think like entrepreneurs like Elon Musk have never failed before, have never hit bankruptcy, have never hit rock bottom? Of course they have. And they're the ones who are really successful are not the ones who have never encountered those. And he has depression as well, but it's the ones who get up. It's the ones who get up again and who self-source that. Now, he may be a bit, I don't know him personally, but he has vibes of being a little bit in that manic, but also you can tell he's very manic creatively. I think he needs to be manic like that too. Like, he's just a very high creative individual. He's in a lot of flow with his ideas, you can tell. I don't even think he cares about the money, to be honest, that guy. I think he's creating because he needs to express that. Otherwise, he will get depressed and kill himself. It's the way it will be. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it totally does.
Quick ad. I take this stuff called KE4 from Ketone Aid. It tastes like rocket fuel, like actual rocket fuel. I'll show you. Yeah, it's brutal, but I'm in flow state 90 seconds later, whether I want to be or not. Pair it with Alpha GPC, and I get more done in 2 hours than I would in a normal day. I recently chatted with the founder, and he takes this product way more seriously than most supplement people. If you want to try KE4, go to ketoneaid.com/lowbar. They're giving our listeners free shipping if you go through that link. Just know, it tastes terrible, it isn't cheap, and it will make you uncomfortably productive. That's ketoneaid.com/lowbar.
Obviously, you made the success, but with the attaching happiness to money and materialism and all of that sort of thing, and then you kind of disappeared. And like, I've followed you online. I think I might have even bought one of your courses, like way back when, about the Facebook ad stuff, right? Maybe I bought so many courses I can't remember. But I noticed you disappeared, and then you pop up again one day, and now you're like magic woman, witch. And I was like, honestly, I was like there just like,
what the fuck?
what the fuck? Like, I've seen people, like marketing gurus, be like, oh, I'm retiring from marketing, and they disappear and they come back, and they usually come back doing exactly the same thing, and it's like a fake retirement. And now I've got a new course, buy my course kind of thing. You didn't do that. You came back as like a wildly different person. And I was like, what the fuck? But I'm kind of into this. This is really unique. I kind of dig this, but like, what the fuck is going on? So you've obviously come back, and that's then morphed into some other things. But once again, you're back and you're doing a version of well, right? Like at least from the outside, you know, you're making money. You're making more money than the average person makes, and all of that sort of thing. So what's the difference now? Like, obviously, like, you're still making money, and you're still making more money than, as you say, than you would need, because you've been to rock bottom and you know you don't need the money. Like, how has that relationship changed for you? Is it like the why you're doing it, or is it some other thing that's kind of shifted for you where now you allow yourself to make money, but it doesn't really matter? Is it something like that?
Yeah, I'm no longer motivated by big money in the way that I was in the past, where it was like, I have to do this to prove to, like, look, Ma, I did it, you know? It no longer has that energy. So that can be a little bit of it can have its own duality, because sometimes you just don't, you're like, you get complacent, you know? So for me, the motivation, my drive comes from like inspiring people and being of service to people. And I know, for example, this low ticket stuff, the reason it's selling so well and it's working so well is because of my enthusiasm and energy. I'm like, oh my God, guys, you have to know about this. This has changed my business and it's changed my life. And for me, the revenue targets now is more around, let me hit that for play, just so I can be a point of inspiration to other people, to show them it's possible. Because I was missing that with the low ticket stuff. When I began to attempt that, I wasn't seeing that. So it took me a lot longer than it should have because of my belief systems around it. So that's my main motivation nowadays, is how can I be of service to people? How can I really help? How can I inspire people? And yeah, but just money on my own, like, oh, I want this and I want this. And every time I start to set intentions like that or goals like that, it's almost like my creative side just goes, or maybe it's my nervous system is like, no, we're not doing that again. Sorry. So yeah, it has to be external. Yeah.
Well, I hate to be the one to take us out of where we are, because I could listen to you talk like this forever. I'm going to be honest with you. But how does that transition into products, right? So you have a bunch of stuff on the, you know, magic spiritual side, right? You have digital courses, perhaps ebooks or PDFs. I'm not sure how you classify those. You've also got the business stuff. Can you walk us through like what you actually have for products now that you're moving?
Yeah, sure. So I have my two books that I wrote. I guess those are PDFs. They're books. They're ebooks, and then I sell digital courses. So right now I have a funnel that sells my most successful. So I have many funnels I'm running front end, because I'm at scale with my ad spend. And that is a good strategy to have when you're spending, you know, over $1,000 on ads per day. But my main funnel is driving to an ads training on how, you know, basically a behind the scenes look at how I set up my campaigns for low ticket offers. And then on the back of that, I created a membership, a support membership, very similar to what I used to have in FATC. I'm very good at creating communities. That's one of my strengths. So that's sort of my flow right now. The difference between how I used to run things in the past and now is, I think there was a lot of ego in my last business, where I used to pin images of like the big office and the big team. And to me, that was like, if I have a big team, I'm successful. If I have an office with a ping pong table and a kombucha machine, I'm successful, you know? And I got those things, you know, and back in the day, I achieved those things on my vision board. And I was like, oh my God, this is like so stressful. My payroll was like $100,000 a month. The office lease was like $10,000 a month. It was so stressful. It was not at all what I thought it was going to be from my vision board. So the difference now is I have one part-time VA in my business, I have basically, except for my ad spend, I pretty much have no expenses except my salary and my ad spend and, software things and pieces like that. And there's no ego there in terms of like, I have to prove, I have to build this big team, or I have to hit this revenue, or I have to do this thing. And the irony is, the more relaxed I am around those things, and the more I'm just actually extroverting to be of service to others and following the enthusiasm of my creativity and what I actually want to talk about, the more money I make. And the moment I start to get logical about it, and like, what should I sell that people will buy? What should I do? And it goes against the moment it just flops and face plants. So there's a, yeah, this is why for visionaries, for creatives, it's very important to have that excitement behind what you're doing. It doesn't have to be like your life's purpose. Like, my purpose is to sell an ads training. No. Or like, ever since the age of six, I dreamed about teaching people how to start a podcast. No, it doesn't have to be that. But there has to be like creative greens. There has to be like a pulling towards like, I want to help people with this. I'm confident I can have help people with this. Like, I love to show up this way. That is very, very important. And that is something that I think a lot of people are missing now, especially as they begin to outsource a lot more to AI. It's like it's missing that that energy behind a lot of marketing. And so a lot of marketing is just, people are optimizing and automating and systematizing, and there's definitely a place for that in business. Strategy is important, but I think they're missing the piece where it's like that energy Elon Musk brings to what he does is why it works the way it works, right? Because he has such conviction, he has such like an energy that you can't help but invest in this guy or want to be a part of what he's doing, even if you think he's crazy. And yeah, I just think a lot of people are thinking too cerebrally now with how they're launching things, and they're missing the piece about like, okay, well, where's your actual flow and your confidence and your excitement? Like, what do you actually want to fucking talk about? Yeah.
Hey, John here for just a sec. You know how we're always breaking down these wild business ideas and road testing opportunities that other podcasts won't touch? Well, we're growing our own business here, this podcast, and we need your help. So here's the deal. If the Low Bar Podcast has given you that holy shit, I can actually do this moment, or just made your commute less boring, help us out. If you're watching on YouTube, go and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening on Spotify, go to our profile page on Spotify and smash that 5-star button. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, hit the review button and leave us a review. It takes you just 30 seconds, costs you nothing, but helps us reach more people who think starting a business is rocket science, which it's not. And it will also give us the momentum we need to do even more fun and crazy business stuff right here for your entertainment. We love to keep it real with you. Now keep it real with us. Let's grow this thing together.
I think my question, I'm trying not to get too logical because we're sitting in the emotional. Like, I actually enjoy all this stuff. You remind me of a good friend of mine, actually. I should introduce you after the show. Her name's Bree. When you made this transition, is it still serving the same audience? I think that would be my question. Like, you're serving a lot of marketers. Now you're kind of, are you still serving those marketers, but coming from a different angle? Like, are all the products that you carry also still directed to that same audience?
Yes, the answer is yes. So when I came out as a witch, which was a terrifying thing to do for me, because everything in my body was like, what the fuck? People are gonna cancel you. There's no, you're gonna kill your business forever. These were the thoughts going through my head. But I had so much shame around it. And I remember I was either teaching something at the time around shame, and I was telling people like, there's a, all emotional reds are important, right? So there's a level of shame that's important, because shame actually teaches you like, don't do that again, you know? Oh, good. The problem is when you live in those states, like a thumb, like you live in depression constantly or shame constantly, then we have big problems. You're gonna get very, very sick as a person. And it's gonna suck all the lifeblood out of your business and creativity. So I I got gained this awareness of like, shit, I'm really ashamed of this. And the best way to actually relieve shame is to confess it, to just admit it. So I was like, I have to do this. And I was getting so, the depression was coming back. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not fucking willing to go to a suicidal level with this again. Like, I'm just gonna foster the courage and come out. And I really thought people were gonna cancel me, but I was like, fuck it, my life is on the edge right now. I'm gonna do this. And I was shocked. I got hundreds of messages from people that had been following me, and they're like, Kat, I don't tell anyone this, but I do rituals, or I set intentions, or I do this behind the scenes. And I was like, oh my God, most, like, I don't know if it's most, but, or if it's just the people I attract, but what I realized is it makes sense. You attract what you are, right? So I was attracting a whole bunch of closet alchemists for years because that's what I was fucking was. I mean, I don't think I was an alchemist consciously, but yeah, I was definitely attracting people who were in a I attract people who are going through a similar thing. That's just the way life works. You attract very similar people to you. So yes, my marketing works. My strategy side works for the same audience. Where I'm at right now is to, yeah, find that balance and consolidate the two, because both are important, right? The intentions, the energy, the emotions, what a lot of people call feminine energetics is important. Everything comes from the invisible, but you're here in a physical reality. You're in this simulation, in this game, in this reality with a physical body. And so there's merit to this body. There's merit to having some attachments. And moving that energy, those intentions through actions and behavior is how you really create powerful things in your life. Not just sitting and meditating and manifesting or vision boarding, not just hammering logic and pushing and hustling. When you marry the two, just like the double helix, one part from feminine, one part from masculine, right? The source code to all of life on this planet, possibly all of this universe, we don't even know. It is a balance of the two. So when you balance the two, that is when creative expression becomes manifest in reality at its full potential. Yeah, people, I don't know what to say. The people I attract are just fucking cool. I don't know, they vibe with it. I'm really lucky. Yeah, but I live in a bubble with it, I think, because my audience is so open to it and everyone, you know, and that sometimes when I get outside my bubble and I go into other masterminds and I realize, oh, actually a lot of people are like really spooked out by these concepts. Or they're like, and I used to be like that. I remember my first mentor was Russ Ruffino. I don't know if you know him. He's like a webinar guy. And this was when I was really in trouble financially in my agency at the beginning. And I invested my last fucking dollar in this guy. And unbeknownst to me, he was into mindset. And I was like, what the fuck? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, oh, because I thought that shit was like, go smoke a joint, you fucking hippie. Like, get out of my face, you know? I was so not into that. It was all strategy. Like, that mindset thing is why I've made the millions. It was the most pivotal thing in my entire career. Him telling me, go fucking do a vision board. The simplest thing. Go journal. Simple fucking things. It changed my entire life and business. Yeah.
I've got about 400 questions to ask you. All right. So I've been meaning to have you on here because John and I did an episode where we did an episode on PDF dropshipping. It's way back. It's a really good one. If you're listening to this and you want to go find some old stuff, it's like the third one we put out. It's awesome. In that episode, John and I were kind of fascinated with this low ticket method. It's actually how we re-stumbled back onto UCAT because I personally hadn't seen you in a few years. And in that episode, we both came with a bunch of ideas. Here's something I think we could create either a small course or a PDF on. Sell it low ticket. You know, certainly there could be some upsells on the back end. We both pushed away from business because we thought that would be too easy. We run a course together. Let's not put any of that stuff forefront. What else could we come up with? In the end, I leaned into something I'm passionate about, which is the Bitcoin network. I think I could create a PDF on how people can actually own the Bitcoin, not just own a claim, a piece of paper to Bitcoin, but actually like move it into cold storage and own the Bitcoin, and something I'm very passionate about. John, on the other hand, is very passionate about being a dad. He's an awesome dad, right? And he came up with 9 different options, right? I came with one title. He was like, here's 9 of them I would put together in a whole thing. Of course he did, because he's very smart at this, right? And so I don't know where John's at. I actually created mine, but I have no idea how to sell it. I like the idea of running an ad to this. I like the idea of having things on the back end. I like the idea of turning it into a course. I like the idea of like literal one-on-one coaching. I'm sure there's tons of people out there who could use someone on Zoom helping them move their Bitcoin in an efficient way, that someone they trust. I'm sure there's plenty here for John too, but like, how do we actually do this? Clearly you figured it out. You've stumbled onto something to make this work. We run ads to our webinar and it costs a lot, right? You used to run ads. You know it costs a lot to acquire customers. How are you making this work on such a low ticket product, and how can John and I get started?
Sure. So you don't have an existing audience for those subject matters, correct? Okay. Because no. if you were going to sell a low ticket to, and you have an existing audience, my first piece of advice would be just sell to them first. So you just do social media posts and you go, I created this training to teach you how to keep your cool when your kids are acting out, comment, blah, 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 or hit reply to this email. That's the fastest, best way to validate your messaging. If you don't have that, then you start running ads. First, you just build out a minimum viable funnel. So when you first launch ads on Facebook, because the way the algorithm works nowadays, it's going to show your ads to the most aware segment of your audience, the one who are closest to buying. They're basically on the fence. They just need to know the link. So you don't even need a sales page. You just send them to an order form page. It's going to convert really, really, really well. Make sure you have bullet points so they can see what they actually get, though. And then you just run that first with ads to validate your front end messaging. This is the hardest piece to crack. This is where most people fall flat, because the messaging just sucks. The way people are explaining things just doesn't make sense to the limbic system, the side of the brain that makes purchasing decisions, which is an illiterate side of the brain. It's like a toddler. It needs things spelled out very literally. So when you say like, enter your next evolution of parenthood, no one's gonna fucking get what the fuck you're saying. You have to be so literal where it's like, how to not yell at your kids or something like that, you know? And then people are like, oh, I get that. So you wanna validate that first. Then when you get those ads and you start validating, then you have to build out your back end. Because yeah, you're not gonna be profitable from a $17 offer. It's gonna probably cost you, if you're spending less than $200 a day, you can probably get sales for around 40 bucks from Facebook. That's just based off normal data, right? If your funnel converts at 2 to 3%, which is pretty standard, and it costs you $2 a click, it's $100 a sale right there, right? Your funnel will probably convert a lot higher at the beginning if you got your messaging right, because again, Facebook's gonna show it to fence sitters. So you can get like $40 sales, but as you start to scale your ad spend, you're gonna be spending around $100 per sale. So that means you have to build your average order value up. These are order bumps. I've tested this. So you want to have like 3 order bumps on your order form. It's actually going to increase the conversion rate of your order page. And then you want to have some upsells, some healthy upsells or downsells in the back of that funnel. You want to aim for $100 to $140 average order value. And if you're planning on doing high ticket or a membership in the back, technically you could break even front end and you're laughing, you know, all the way to the bank. If you don't want to do any membership or live things in the back, then you definitely want an average order value of around 140 bucks. So that would be the way that I would do it. I would just start running ads to an order form, make sure that people look at my conversion rates. You know, it should be converting at around minimum 3%. You want something a bit higher because it's, you know, it's going to go after fence sitters at first, so it should be higher. And then you build out the back. And then once you have your AOV, then you build the sales page. And now you start scaling your ads.
So are you teaching people like us without an audience, right? It'd be very easy for John and I to create something around e-commerce and do pretty well, right? In fact, we have some low ticket offers and they move, right? But what if we wanted to start a whole new thing? Is that us spinning up a new Instagram page and posting all the time, or TikTok, or how does someone say, I know a lot about this subject, but I don't have an audience here. I don't have a presence on the internet yet. How would you begin there?
Well, you don't need that because you're going to run ads, right? So yeah, you'll need a page obviously to run ads from, especially if you don't want to dilute or confuse your existing audience. And then there's an element where you probably want to get like 100 followers on that page to begin with. Most people are not going to check out your profile though, but there's a psychological thing, like if you have 0 followers, people are like, is this a scam? So you can just run a page like campaign at the beginning. It should cost you like 40 bucks for 100 followers, and then have a couple pieces of content, because Facebook does appreciate that. It does help in the auction process. However, the whole purpose of running ads, the whole purpose of this business model is so that you can automate it so you don't have to do live launches, constant social media posting. And actually, as you grow your ad, like all of my followers on Instagram and Facebook have come from running ads. Not running ads to get followers, but just as a byproduct of running ads. Yeah, everyone that follows me on Instagram, I don't have viral posts. Like my posts are not viral. My content is like messy as fuck. Everybody that's following me on Instagram just came because I was running ads and they were like, oh, who's this girl? Follow. So you will grow an audience as you run ads, but it's not necessary. Should you practice the messaging to, like, messaging is going to be the hardest thing of this funnel. Obviously, this is assuming you have passion, excitement, you have the energy. Messaging will be the biggest bottleneck. And so there's an element here where it's like, in the beginning, be willing to do some things unscalable. So I would say go and post as much as you can. Because if nothing else, not for engagement, not for followers, but just so you can practice the muscle. You know, when you write something and then you, or you, your first podcast is probably real shit, right? Probably you look back at it and you're like, oh my God, what were we doing? Like, what the fuck, right? Same thing. Anytime you apply yourself to something new. So the more you can do it, the more you can talk about the messaging, the offer, the USP, the better you'll get at it.
So it's mostly ads. In the beginning, like if you've got no audience and that sort of thing. And I'm curious, you've been around Facebook ads for a long time in different ways. Like what's the difference now? Like what should people be doing? Is it still you're just targeting interests and does it require a lot of creative?
Not if you're spending under 200. I would only have like 5 creatives. Because you'll actually waste money if you have too many creatives. If you're at scale, yeah, you need a lot of creatives. It's actually easier nowadays to run ads. I think this is the golden era of Facebook ads, not 2014 like we thought. Because Facebook pretty much does everything for you now. It does all the retargeting. It just needs you to provide it creative along the different levels of awareness, which is a framework developed by Eugene Schwartz, levels of customer awareness. So that's how the algorithm works. It goes, okay, there's people that are on the fence and then there's people that are unaware. Give me creative so I can start warming up this unaware audience and bring them to the fence so that they buy from you. So I tend to run one CBO campaign budget optimization, one ad set within that. And then I'll have, depending on how much I'm spending, usually I start a campaign off at like 100, 200 bucks. And then I'll just add creatives as I'm scaling. But I'm a very lazy marketer, I must say. Like, I know there's some people out there that are like, here's how to create 100 creatives. Yeah, I don't do any of that. I still have some ads that have been running for 3 months that are the best converting, and that's just the way. It's very easy, let's just say that. As long as you have good messaging. Facebook loves low-ticket funnels because it's like an easy hit on the pixel. It's like boom, 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 boom. And the purchase event is one of the original events for Facebook. And so like those, having lots of hits like that is really, really like, it works so, so well low ticket with Facebook ads.
Well, I know you have a hard stop after this. I could ask you a million more questions. Where can people find you? If they want to find you on the internet, where can they find your books? Where can they find all of the stuff that you sell? Where can they follow? Your account's very interesting. I would recommend just following you on social media as well. Where can everyone find you?
Sure. Yeah, my books are on Amazon. Just search Kat Howell, and then Instagram, I guess, Kat Howell.
Now you said you still work with some people privately. Is that something you put out there openly, or is that, you know, on the back end behind, hey, buy all my stuff first and then we can talk?
I don't really talk, like I don't really promote it because people just reach out to me and then it fills up. So I don't have spots right now, but I do have some, what do you call it? Like a mastermind that I'm running if people wanted more proximity, which does include quarterly one-on-ones with me. So just reach out to me.
I could listen to you all day long. So I'm sure there's other people listening to this who are like, I want to pay her money just to have her keep talking because this was awesome. Thanks for coming on.
Sure. It was a pleasure.
Hey, real quick, while I have you here at the very end of the show, John and I are trying to grow our social media channels. We're also sharing what we're doing from some of these podcasts on the social media. So we'd love to have you follow us. You can find us at Low Bar Podcast on TikTok and on X, and you can find us at Low Bar Pod on Instagram and on Facebook. Of course, all of these will be in the show notes of every episode. So if you could give us a follow, maybe like a few posts. Obviously, we're trying to grow our business too. Thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us grow what John and I are trying to build here.